Well, we still need to hear from God's word this morning, but I also know that tummies are probably grumbling a little bit as you think about one of our potlucks. And so a little bit shorter sermon today, but we want to take time, like I said, to hear from God's word and to continue to celebrate some ways that God has been moving in our church over this last year, that not just through our outreach teams. And so as we do, I just want to share this. This is a picture that, and we'll see if she catches on, but that my daughter Hallie colored for me about a week ago. And our kids are at that stage where they love to draw pictures, they love to color, they love to give them to us, they love to show them to us. And so there's often times that we're working around the house, or Jen and I are just relaxing, and we have kids that just take a picture and they put it in front of us, and they're like, see, Dad, see, Mommy, see what I did, see. And sometimes, you know, your parent, and you just love that, and you're just like, this is great. I love it. Hallie's been giving pictures to her friends that she's been meeting at school, and so just seeing the work in her to share her love for drawing and for coloring with others. But there are other times that you have to be honest as a parent, that sometimes your kids put a picture in front of your face, and you're just like, that's great. I'm busy. You know, I'm busy. And maybe not necessarily busy with stuff to do, but you're busy relaxing, you're busy watching a video, you're busy trying to play a game, or you're busy reading, busy working. And I think it can be really easy for us as Christians to just get so busy that we don't celebrate as well. Maybe we're busy with work, maybe we're busy with family life, maybe we're busy getting our kids from one event to another. Maybe we're busy with church ministry stuff. But sometimes we get so busy that we don't even take time to celebrate. Don't take time to thank God for the work that He's done. And that's why we are taking time today to celebrate the work that God has done, to make sure that we're giving Him thanks for the ways that He's working through us, to pause. And so I invite us to do so as we read through Romans 1, some verses in Romans 1, where Paul takes time in this beginning of this letter where he says, I have so much stuff to share with you about who God is and what the gospel is and the ways that God is working and moving and desires to work in you. But he starts off by saying, let us give God thanks. And so we as a church, there's much work to do. There's much work that already has been done. But before we go back to that work, let's just pause this morning and let's give God thanks. And so will you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be reading 8 through 17 this morning. If you have never been in the book of Romans before, obviously we haven't been going through a series on Romans, but we invite you to follow along with us this morning. You should see a black Bible either in front in the chair in front of you or in the chair in front of your neighbor, and we invite you to grab one and to follow along with us. If you happen to grab the small print version, we're going to be on page 939, and if you grab the large print version, we'll be on page 1116. So once again, we're going to be in Romans 1. I'll give you a moment to turn there, and then I'll read it for us this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the Gentiles, or the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The word of the Lord. Paul begins this section of the book of Romans by thanking God for the Christians in Rome because of their faith. In about 25 years, the good news of the gospel has traveled from Jerusalem all the way to Italy, to Rome. And the fact that these Gentiles in Rome are putting their faith and trust in Jesus is causing Christians all around the world to rejoice. That not only are Jews, are God's people, putting their faith and hope in Jesus, but even people like the Gentiles who are far from God are putting their trust in Jesus. And Roman Gentiles, nonetheless, who were often opposed to the Jews. But notice that Paul does not direct his primary praise towards these Christians. He doesn't first say, praise you, great job in you putting your faith in Jesus. Great job in advancing the gospel, Christians. Rather, he directs his praise towards the one who is deserving of all praise, God. Paul recognizes that the gospel is the good news of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Paul recognizes that the spread of the gospel is God's work. Paul recognizes that even the act of putting one's faith in Jesus Christ is the work of God in the individual. And so it is only right that Paul would say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And this brings us to our first point this morning from Romans chapter 1. That it is good for us to take time to thank God for his work. Growing up in a Lutheran church, every communion Sunday, the pastor would recite the phrase, and they would sing it. I'm not going to sing it for us this morning. I'll spare you guys that. But the pastor would cite the phrase, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And the congregation would reply back, they would sing back, it is right to give him thanks and praise. It is right, it is good, it is deserving to give God thanks and praise. And this is why we have set aside these fifth Sundays to do just that, to take a whole service and to celebrate, because it is right to give God thanks and praise for the work he is doing through our church in this city and around the world. And as we take time to point out some specific ways that God is working in our church, I want us to keep in mind Psalm 40, verse 5, which says, many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. Many the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. In other words, despite our taking an entire service this morning to say, thank you, Lord, for the ways you're working, we don't have a service long enough to tell of all that God has done. There's still more when we're all done today that we could give him thanks for. He is always working, always accomplishing praiseworthy deeds. But even though we can't do that perfectly this morning in regards to giving him all the praise he's due, we want to do our best. And so here are some ways that we can give God thanks for the ways he's working in our church, specifically in regards to our core value to send out disciples, to live in light of the gospel as we send out disciples. First, let us give God thanks for his work in our outreach teams. I'm not going to build on what our outreach team leaders have shared. They took time to share with you what God has been doing in them. But praise God for his work in these teams that are trying to reach Muscatine, trying to reach these target groups with the good news of the gospel. Secondly, let us give God thanks for his work in our bike blessing. So back in May, we held a bike blessing, and there were between 80 and 100 bikes that came here. And so probably about 150 bikers or 150 to 200 bikers were here on that day. And they had their bikes blessed, and they were prayed for, and they were cared for, and they were shown a church, they were shown a biker community that loved them. Some of those bikers have started attending church here, and others have expressed great appreciation for the work that God is doing through First Baptist. They're excited about what God could do next year and the year after that and the year after that as we continue to minister to these people. Third, let us give God thanks for his work in our Operation Christmas Child Ministry. We are getting ready to pack 250 boxes here in a few weeks that will be sent all around the world, not only with Christmas gifts, but with the good news of the gospel. And God has blessed our church with an abundance of gifts, of washcloths, of toothbrushes, of toothpaste, of just financial blessings. And you as a church have determined, you know what? I'm going to pass this on. I'm going to give this away. I'm going to give to people who are in need. Praise God for that. Let us give God thanks for his work in our global giving. Through our church, $35,000 was sent last year to missionaries, to our Operation Christmas Child ministries, so that the gospel can be spread around the world. In addition, our youth sponsor two compassion kits, and so they've served our church in many ways. They did some projects around the church and raised funds. They served over at the Pizza Ranch, and many of you went to Pizza Ranch and got to enjoy a meal and support our youth as well. And so because of this church, two kids around the world have some basic needs met, are able to go to school, are able to hear the gospel. Praise God for that. Let's give God thanks for his work in our increased volunteer engagement. So part of the times we want to be a church that's sending disciples beyond our church property, beyond our church walls, but part of the sending just means that sometimes we are sent out of our chairs up on the platform to lead worship, or we're sent into the kids' wing to help teach a class, or we're sent into the kitchen to help serve meals. All of that involves being sent out as a disciple to help make other disciples. And we've seen an increase in volunteer engagement over this last year. Just this past week, my wife announced that we were short one person for our kids' check-in desk ministry, and we need to train up a few volunteers. And within 24 hours, seven people said that they'd be willing to serve in that role. And just to put this in perspective, in the two and a half years that we've had this position, we've never had more than five people total. And now, all of a sudden, because God is working in you, we have seven in addition to the four who are already serving in this way. And that's just an illustration in one area, and we've seen that all across the board of a church that is growing and stepping up and serving in ways that we need. Over 100 of you served on outreach teams this past year, and a majority of our church serves in some capacity in order to help us accomplish this vision to live in light of the gospel. Let us give thanks to God for that. Let us give God thanks for his work in you to invite and disciple friends. One of the biggest sources of praise over this last year has been the work of God working in you to invite neighbors and co-workers and friends and family. One of the things that we've talked about as elders is if you've heard the outreach teams talk about, well, we saw God work in these ways, but we really have yet to see God really bring about salvation in the lives of the people that we're reaching through these outreach teams. But what this has created is a culture in the church that is more outward focused. And since we started the outreach teams, we see more people from this church inviting neighbors and coworkers and family and friends to church. We see more people asking our elder team or our leaders in our church for resources to be able to go disciple their friends. We see more people inviting others to become a part of this church. What a great work that God is doing in all of you. And finally, let us give God thanks for his work in welcoming guests to our church. Brian and I met about a year ago, and we had this conversation that as a church, we are a very friendly church, but we didn't know if we would describe our church as a welcoming church. In terms of our church would greet our guests and say hi to our guests, but there was never really a welcoming them into our life and our community. I'm going to welcome you into my group. And that's not the case today. Praise God. Earlier this week, I was checking our church roster, and since January 1st, so in the last 9 months, We've had 32 guests attend First Baptist for the first time, and get this, not just attend, the numbers that have attended have been higher, but attend and would consider First Baptist their church home. 32 people since January 1st who have come here and said, this is my church family, this is where I want to belong, this is where I want to get connected, this is where I want to serve. So God is not only doing a great work in our church to invite others to come to First Baptist, but he's doing a great work in our church to welcome others into this church family, to welcome them into this community, to welcome them into a relationship with Jesus. My first 2 years here, about 5 to 10% of our guests returned for a second visit. Over the last year, that number has increased to over 50%, and some months we have been over 80%. And so now, not only are our guests coming back, but they're invited into groups, they're invited to serve, they're getting involved in the life of our church. And it's the work of God. It's the work of God through you to be a church that is sending disciples. What a great work God is doing in our church. And it is good for us to give him thanks this morning. Skipping down to verse 16, Paul talks about how God accomplishes these great works, both in Rome and here, First Baptist. He says that the power comes in the gospel, which brings salvation to everyone who believes. For in the good news of the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And Paul will go on in the rest of the letter to the Romans to describe this righteousness, that even though you and I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the gospel shows us that Jesus Christ came, that he lived, that he died on the cross to take away our sin. And then he imputes or ascribes or credits that righteousness to us. In other words, we sin and are separated from God's perfect righteousness. But Jesus came and he died on the cross and he took on our sin and then he credits us with his righteousness. So before God, we look perfect in his eyes because Jesus took on our sin. Jesus took our punishment and we get the reward of eternal life. That's the good news of the gospel. And that's why the gospel is able to save, because it's the power of God working through the life and death of Jesus. And so we are not saved by our faith, we're not saved by our belief, rather we are saved by grace, we're saved by Christ's works through faith in what Jesus has done. God gets all the credit, he gets all the glory because he does the work. And so we see that God accomplishes his praiseworthy works through the power of the gospel. And so really, this list that we put up earlier of the things that we can praise God for is a list of the things that God has done through the gospel in our church this last year. The gospel has worked in this church to be generous in giving. The gospel has worked through this church to be more humble in serving others. The gospel has worked through this church to be more bold in inviting others to follow Jesus. The gospel has worked through this church to be more loving and welcoming new guests. As we remember the gospel, as we remembered the hell that God delivered us from and the heaven that God has saved us for, God works in us to become a church that is sending disciples as we live in light of the gospel. And we see that working in Paul. Look with me again at verses 14 through 15. Paul says, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians. Greeks were, of course, most of the Roman citizens, but barbarians were the least of these in the Roman Empire. He says, I have an obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul said that he is eager to preach the gospel to those who have yet to still believe. Rather than be ashamed, he cannot wait to share this good news with others. And that excitement comes from the power and the message of the gospel. Paul wants to see God work more and more and more in the lives of these Roman citizens, in the lives of the Greeks, in the lives of the barbarians, even in the lives of the Jews. Paul is seeing the gospel go out. He's seeing lives being changed. He's seeing people go from death to life, from hell to heaven. And he said, I want to see that more. I want to see more. I want to see more of what God can do in this person, in this person, in this person, in this person. He says, I'm eager to share the gospel. I'm eager to see the gospel and the power in it change lives. I'm eager to see God work. And that brings us to our final point this morning. That having celebrated what God has done, let us be all the more eager to share the gospel with others. Church, we have seen and celebrated many of the ways that we have seen God work in our church over this last year. How awesome would it be for us to gather here in fall of 2020 and say, hey, we saw God do the same thing we did last year. We saw us become even more of a welcoming church. We saw us become even more welcoming to these guests. We saw God work through our outreach teams to reach people with the good news of the gospel. We had another great bike blessing. We sent more money to world missions. We became more engaged in world missions. We sent shoeboxes around the world. I'm guessing there's not one of you that's sitting here, if God could do a little bit less next year, that'd be great. If anything, we want to see more. We want to see God do more than that this next year. We want to stand here next year and be able to give him more praise and more praise and more praise because of how he's working through this church to reach people with the gospel. And so let us leave here eager to share the gospel more with others. To see someone who is far from Jesus put their hope in him, put their trust in him. For that person to be one of our guests, one of our members of the village, one of the teachers, staff, or kids from Mulberry, one of the residents of Cedar Hills, one of the bikers who comes with a bike blessing, one of our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, one of the impoverished people who receive the shoeboxes, a person that our missionaries are trying to reach around the world. How awesome would it be for us to gather here next year and be able to say, this person trusted in Jesus, and this person trusted in Jesus, and this person trusted in Jesus because of the work of the gospel through First Baptist. And so for all of us here today, I invite you, let's be eager. Let's be eager to be sent out as a disciple, to share the gospel with others. Let's be eager to serve on an outreach team as we reach Muscatine with the gospel. Let's be eager to love and to serve your neighbors and coworkers, inviting them to know Jesus, inviting them to become a part of a church. Let's be eager to give generously and participate in the work God is doing all around the world to advance his gospel. If you're here and you're a spectator, we invite you, be a part of the work that God is doing in this church. Be sent out so that others can come to know Jesus, so we can celebrate more, so we can give God praise more for the work that he is doing. Let's be eager to be sent with the gospel, not ashamed, because it is the power of God to save you and I when we deserved to die, and to save those in Muscatine and around the world who still need Jesus today. Let's pray. God, as we see in Psalm 40, that there is no way that we could celebrate all that you have done through this church and in this church this past year. But Father, we thank and praise you for it. We thank and praise you for the things we've been able to see and know and experience. And Father, we know that in addition to the fruit that we've seen, that there were many seeds that were yet planted this past year that we have yet to see the harvest from. And Father, we pray that you would continue your abundant work that you've started in us, that the seed sown would bring about a harvest this upcoming year, There'd be people who trust in Jesus who didn't know him before. There'd be people who grow in Jesus that had remained stagnant. There'd be people who serve Jesus that have been spectators. Father, we would become a church that is truly sending disciples as we live in light of the gospel. Father, who could imagine that we'd be sitting or standing here today giving praise for all that you would do this past year? But here we are. And Father, as we gather 1 year from now to celebrate your work in this core value once again, may we likewise look back and say, who would have imagined that our God would do that through us? So, Father, as we sit here today in hope of what you will do over this next year, and having been reminded of the good news of the gospel, would you work in our church to be eager all the more to share the gospel with those who need to hear it, to be a church that is sent out, that you may receive all the praise that you're due. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.